Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be in 2 Chronicles chapter 28. Chapter 28 chronicles the reign of King Ahaz. Verse 1 tells us, Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 16 years. Unlike David his father, he did not do what was right in the eyes of the Lord. He followed the way of the kings of Israel, and also made idols for worshiping the Baals. He burned sacrifices in the valley of Ben-Hinnom and sacrificed his children in the fire, engaging in the detestable practices of the nations the Lord had driven out before the Israelites. He offered sacrifices and burned incense at the high places, on the hilltops, and under every spreading tree. Unfortunately, idolatry would be the defining characteristic of Ahaz's reign, and the book actually chronicles that his idolatry was the undoing of Israel. By the time Ahaz came on the scene and plunged the nation into paganism, there was no going back. Verse 5 chronicles the first judgment on Ahaz's reign through his defeat by the Arameans. Verse 5, therefore the Lord his God delivered him in the hands of the king of Aram. The Arameans defeated him and took many of his people as prisoners and brought them to Damascus. But that wasn't all. You see, when God did this to Uzziah, he eventually repented, but Ahaz goes even further into idolatry. So round 2 is found in the second part of verse 5. He was also given into the hands of the king of Israel, who inflicted heavy casualties on him. And one day, Pekah, son of Remaliah, killed 120,000 soldiers in Judah because Judah had forsaken the Lord, the God of their ancestors. Zichri, an Ephraimite warrior, killed Maaseiah, the king's son, Azrikam, the officer in charge of the palace, and Elkanah, second to the king. The men of Israel took captive from their fellow Israelites, who were from Judah, 200,000 wives, sons, and daughters. They also took a great deal of plunder, which they carried back to Samaria. Now God sends a prophet to the Israelites up north who are carrying away the slaves from Ahaz's kingdom of Judah, and they respond to his warning when Ahaz doesn't. In verses 9 through 14, we read about that prophet, Oded, telling the returning army with all their captive wives, daughters, and sons that they should let the slaves go. He tells them that they only defeated King Ahaz, king of Judah, because God was judging him, and that therefore they shouldn't take these people as slaves, lest they enter into God's judgment. And they listened. Now, this should have shamed Ahaz, who should have known better to trust God, but didn't. Even the pagans were listening better than King Ahaz. And to contrast the reign of Jotham with his son Ahaz, you see that God blessed Jotham and added to his kingdom, but here Ahaz follows paganism, and as a result, everything is stripped away from him piece by piece. Whereas Jotham was the embodiment of God's blessing, this king, King Ahaz, becomes the embodiment of cursing. In verse 5, his people are carried away by Arameans. In verses 6 through 15, they're carried away by the northern kingdom of Israel. And in verse 16 to 21, he's being plundered by Edomites and Assyrians. I mean, everybody is getting in line to take a piece of Ahaz's kingdom and Ahaz himself. It reminds me of one of my football coaches in high school. He's a believer, and years later, when I became one of his pastors, not one of his high school football players, it made him blush when I brought up his halftime locker room speeches. But they were funny. If a team was trouncing us, he'd be yelling and throwing his hat, his water bottle, his clipboard, spit flex flying out of his mouth, and he'd go into a rage, giving a speech that sounded something like this. "You're just giving the points away. If you're in a generous mood, why don't you continue the gesture by telling them during the second half of the game, 'Hey, you look like you'd appreciate my girlfriend. She's real nice. In fact, why don't I introduce you after the game? She's a real good kisser. I think the two of you would get along just great.'" Now, that's funny stuff, But it wasn't funny for Ahaz. I mean, he was literally giving away people. He was giving away his wives, his sons, and his daughters, and the wives, sons, and daughters of all of his people. Now, property, provinces, and people, not the kind of things you want to give away. As Belloc quipped to Indiana Jones in the beginning of Raiders of the Lost Ark, "Once again, Dr. Jones, we see that there is nothing you possess which I cannot take away." And that was exactly how Ahaz felt. Anything he owned got pried from his cold, dead fingers. That's exactly what God was doing to try to get Ahaz to turn back to him and follow him as his father Jotham had done. But verse 22 tells us what Ahaz's response actually was, and it was a pragmatic approach to religion. Now, that's a big word. It's a $5 phrase, so in case you didn't recognize it, here's what pragmatism means. It's the philosophy that says, if it works, I'll do it. In other words, pragmatism values results. If it gets results, then you do it. So let's analyze Ahaz's response. Rather than turning to God and realizing, even what the pagans knew, that he was under the judgment of God, instead he looked at the people attacking them and said, well, their God seems to be working for them. Why don't I worship that God? Of course, he had many to choose from because he was getting conquered by so many different people. So verse 22 says, in his time of trouble, King Ahaz became even more unfaithful to the Lord. He offered sacrifices to the gods of Damascus, who had defeated him. For he thought, since the gods of the king of Aram have helped them, I will sacrifice to them, so they'll help me. But they were his downfall and the downfall of all Israel. And in a strange move, Ahaz actually gathered together the furnishings of God and cut them up like a child, busting up his toys so other kids couldn't play with him. And he eventually shut and boarded up the doors of the temple so that nobody could worship the true God. You'd think, hey, that king needs a spanking. Except he'd already had them, many of them, and he still decided he wasn't going to turn back to God. That's why the Bible tells us in Proverbs, do not be stubborn like a mule who needs a bit and bridle put in his mouth so that he can be forced to go where he doesn't want. You know, Jesus isn't a cattle driver, and Ahaz was still given a chance. But you know, after the wolves attacked so many times, Ahaz should have ran back to the shepherd, the good shepherd, rather than running straight back into the jaws of the wolves. What about you? Are you allowing circumstances and the things in your life to drive you back to God? You know, in the last chapter, we talked about being driven away from God by fear. But today, as we end our journey through the Word, muse on the fact that God disciplines those he loves. He still loved Ahaz and gave him a chance to turn back. And my friend, no matter who you are or what you're doing or what you think, God loves you and he's always providing a way back.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.